Welcome to The Deep Dive, the show where we cut through the noise and deliver the essential insights you need to be truly well-informed and fast. Have you ever stopped to think about the invisible backbone of countless products you use every day?
It's everywhere, isn't it?
Exactly. I'm talking about everything, you know, from the specialized polymers that make your phone light but still tough, to the active ingredients in medicines, or even the pigments in your car paint.
All rely on these highly specialized chemical ingredients. These aren't your basic run-of-the-mill commodity chemicals.
Right. They're precise, often really complex formulations, aren't they? Tailored for very specific jobs.
Absolutely. Tailored.
But here's the fascinating question, and maybe one you haven't considered.
Yeah.
Who actually gets these incredibly specific, sometimes sensitive ingredients from the big manufacturers who make them to the innovators, the engineers, the chemists, the companies who actually use them in their final products?
It's a huge piece of the puzzle, often unseen.
It really is. A massive part of the global economy, and it involves, well, way more than just trucking stuff around. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on one of the premier global players in this vital yet often overlooked industry, IMCD-NV.
That's IMCD.AS on the Amsterdam Exchange, for those looking it up.
Good point. Our mission for this deep dive is simple. Give you a real shortcut to understanding how IMCD hasn't just carved out a niche in this complex chemical value chain, but a really robust, defensible, and remarkably resilient one.
And how they've thrived there, really.
Exactly. We're going to unpack its unique asset-light business model. We'll definitely dig into what that means. We'll look at their approach to M&A, mergers and acquisitions, which is aggressive but seems very disciplined.
A core part of their story, for sure.
We'll cover their financial performance, the headwinds they've faced recently, and they have faced some, and what it all means for their future, and naturally its valuation.
Because that's shifted quite a bit.
It has. What you're going to discover today is that IMCD success isn't just about moving chemicals efficiently. It's a much richer story. It's about deep technical know-how, building these long-term sticky relationships, and a consistent growth path.
That's made them a key consolidator in a market that's still surprisingly fragmented.
Precisely. It's genuinely a more than a distributor story, and we're excited to unpack it all for you.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. What's really compelling about IMCD is how they've taken what looks like maybe a straightforward logistics job.
Right, moving stuff from A to B.
And elevated it, turned it into this highly specialized, value-added service that's, well, almost indispensable for many of their customers and suppliers. They operate as this crucial intermediary.
An intermediary.
Yeah, think of them as the vital link, the smart connection between the world's biggest chemical manufacturers, they call them principals, and this huge, diverse, really fragmented universe of end users, companies scattered across countless industries.
You know, when I first heard chemical distributor, I honestly pictured like trucks and warehouses, maybe some basic inventory software.
A common picture, yeah.
But you're saying it's far more complex and frankly, far more valuable than just that.
Yeah.
Can you paint a clearer picture for us? What does IMCD really do that goes beyond just moving boxes?
Absolutely. Their core business, it goes way, way beyond traditional logistics. Look, they provide a whole suite of services. Yes, sales and marketing are in there. That's kind of table stakes.
Sure.
But here's the real kicker, the critical differentiator. It also includes deep technical support and, crucially, advanced formulation development.
Formulation development. So they're actually helping create the end product.
In a way, yes. They have this deeply consultative sales approach. And it's not executed by generic salespeople. It's done by highly specialized teams of technical experts, chemists, formulators.
Real scientists.
Exactly. People who have an intimate understanding of the ingredients, the molecules, how they interact to create very specific effects or properties in a product. This expertise is their primary competitive edge. It's a real moat around their business.
Okay, so how does that translate for, you know, for us, for the end user?
Well, think about how this specialized approach helps countless industries innovate, how it helps bring new and improved products to market faster. We're talking about everything from, say, crafting that unique texture in your fancy shampoo.
Ah, right.
To ensuring the precise effectiveness and stability of a new drug, or even improving the durability and the environmental footprint of new building materials. IMCD is kind of a hidden engine driving that innovation across all these different sectors.
That completely reframes it for me. So they're not just selling ingredients, they're selling solutions, expertise.
Precisely. Solutions and expertise bundled together.
Okay, so they're providing this deep technical know-how, this innovation support. But how do they actually structure themselves to deliver that kind of specialized service consistently across, well, a truly global footprint? It can't be a one-size-fits-all approach, surely.
No, definitely not. They manage this balance through a matrix structure. They have 8 global business groups.
8 groups.
Yeah, and these are meticulously aligned with key end markets. So you've got groups like pharmaceuticals, food and nutrition, beauty and personal care, coatings and construction, advanced materials, lubricants and energy, home care, industrial and industrial solutions. It's quite comprehensive.
So each group focuses on a specific industry.
Exactly. This structure ensures that they have deep market knowledge and very specific technical expertise, and that it's applied consistently around the world. But it's not just top-down. It also empowers the local teams.
How so?
Well, the local teams can gather really granular insights, respond to regional demands, deal with local regulations. It's a system for sharing best practices, technical breakthroughs, market intel across the whole organization. It creates real synergies.
And their geographic footprint is genuinely global now, isn't it? Right. Started in the Netherlands, but they've spread out remarkably quickly.
They really have. It's quite impressive. Founded only in 1995, right? Relatively young.
Yeah.
And they've expanded from that European base to become a truly global player. As of early 2025, they're in over 60 countries, 6 continents, employing more than 5,000 people.
Wow.
And this network, this integrated global network, it's essential. It serves their multinational principals, big chemical makers who need that consistent service everywhere, and also their incredibly diverse customer base, from huge conglomerates down to tiny regional innovators.
And how does that revenue break down geographically? Where are their strongholds?
Good question. For the full year 2024, EMEA, that's Europe, Middle East, and Africa, was their biggest segment. Brought in just under $2 billion, $1,990.1 million to be exact. Shows their roots, right?
Makes sense.
The Americas segment was substantial too, about $1.46 billion, yeah. $1,457.7 million, shows its growing importance. And then Asia Pacific, which they've explicitly called out as a key focus for strategic expansion.
That's where the growth is.
Well, it's certainly a huge potential growth engine. That came in at nearly $1.3 billion, $1,279.8 million. So yeah, EMEA is the biggest today, but the Americas and especially Asia Pacific are strategically vital for their future growth.
Okay, let's unpack this concept you mentioned earlier, asset light. Because looking at IMCD, it feels like it has this, I don't know, this dual nature almost.
Mm-hmm.
Most people hear asset light, they think minimal capital investment, right? Like a software firm or something.
That's the usual picture, yeah. And it's true partly for IMCD's operational model. They've made a very deliberate choice not to get into capital-heavy chemical production. They don't run massive chemical plants like their suppliers do.
Right, they leave that to BASF and the others.
Exactly. Instead, their main investments are in, let's call them, intangible assets. Primarily, it's their people, the technically expert sales force, the chemists in the labs. It's the deep, long-term relationships they build with suppliers and customers. And it's their network of technical facilities around the globe.
Okay, those technical facilities, you mentioned them. Just to be crystal clear, these aren't factories, right? They're not actually making chemicals there.
No, absolutely not. That's a critical distinction. They operate over 80 technical centers and specialized labs globally. These places are the backbone of their value-added service. They're absolutely crucial for what makes them different.
So what happens there?
That's where their expert chemists and formulators work directly, hand in hand, with customers. On everything from understanding how an ingredient works in an application, to rigorous testing, and critically developing innovative new formulations tailored to what that specific client needs.
Can you give an example?
Sure. In their beauty and personal care labs, for instance, they recently developed something called a glass hair leave-on formulation. It was designed to achieve very specific aesthetic effects and performance for a client's hair care product.
Interesting.
And they keep investing here. They just opened a big new life science laboratory hub in Shanghai in July 2025. That's clear evidence of their ongoing commitment to this capability. It's all about collaboration, problem solving, driving innovation for their clients, not actual manufacturing.
Okay. Now here's where it gets really interesting for me. While their day-to-day operations seem asset light in that traditional sense, their main growth strategy, this aggressive M&A program, sounds inherently capital intensive. That feels like a real tension, doesn't it? How do they balance that?
You've nailed the core paradox. It's a critical point to grasp about IMCD. While the operational model is lean, their growth engine absolutely relies on deploying continuous significant capital to buy up smaller competitors.
It's not just occasional deals then?
No, it's systematic. It's strategic. A buy-and-build approach in a market that's still very fragmented. And doing this successfully requires, well, two things. A really strong balance sheet and reliable access to capital markets.
Have they shown they can do that?
Oh, yeah. They proved it again in late 2024. They successfully issued a new $500 million corporate bond and raised another $300 million through an equity offering. These weren't just random capital raises. They were explicit moves to boost financial flexibility, build up a war chest for more acquisitions.
So they're fueling the M&A engine.
Exactly. And predictably, after making several acquisitions, their net debt rose to about $1.54 billion by mid-2025. It underscores this strategic priority. So, to sum it up, operational model is lean, agile, but ultimate success, measured just as much, maybe more, by their ability to generate high returns on the big chunks of capital they deploy for these acquisitions. It's a dynamic tension they manage very carefully.
Okay, so understanding this unique structure, this strategic focus, what are the really durable moats protecting IMCD's business? What truly sets them apart and makes their position so defensible against competitors?
They've built several really significant competitive advantages, and these are tough for others to replicate quickly. First, and maybe most important, is that technical and formulation expertise we keep talking about.
Labs and chemists.
Exactly. That global network of over 80 technical centers isn't just window dressing. It literally embeds IMCD deep inside their customers' product development cycles. By providing that specialized application support, solving tricky formulation problems, co-developing products, they create incredibly sticky long-term relationships. Sticky meaning?
Meaning customers find it very hard to switch away. IMCD becomes more than just a supplier. They become a critical innovation partner.
Okay, what else?
Second is their premier supplier relationships. Over decades, IMCD has become the preferred, sometimes exclusive, channel to market for many of the world's top specialty chemical makers. Think names like Lubrizol, Friesling Campina, BASF.
Why do these big guys rely on IMCD?
Because IMCD gives them extensive global reach, a technically skilled sales force, and sophisticated logistics. It allows these manufacturers to efficiently serve a huge, fragmented customer base, thousands of smaller buyers that they simply couldn't reach cost-effectively on their own. These relationships are often exclusive and very long-term. That's a massive barrier for anyone trying to break in.
I can see how that creates a barrier. But does that exclusivity ever become a risk for IMCD? What if a big supplier decides to take distribution back in-house, or maybe consolidates its partners? That's a fair point, a critical question. The risk of a principal taking distribution fully in-house exists, sure, but it's generally pretty low for specialty chemicals. Why? Because of the high technical demands, the fragmented customer base, and frankly, the huge cost of replicating IMCD's global network and expertise. Manufacturers usually want to focus on making chemicals, not distributing them in this complex way.
Okay, so insourcing is less likely. What about consolidation?
Consolidation of distribution partners does happen, but IMCD's strategy offering comprehensive multi-region solutions, having that deep technical bench makes them a very attractive, often indispensable partner. They're frequently the beneficiary when suppliers decide to work with fewer, more capable global partners. Their track record actually shows they often gain more mandates through this trend, not lose them, precisely because of those deep relationships and proven capabilities.
Interesting. So that strength can actually attract more business in a consolidated environment. What's the third moat?
Third is their unique combination of global reach with deep local execution. That matrix structure we talked about. It lets them offer the big multinational principals a seamless, coordinated global platform. One point of contact for multiple regions.
Efficient for the supplier.
Very. But at the same time, it empowers their local teams to be highly autonomous. They can cater meticulously to specific regional needs, regulations, culture, technical nuances. It's this powerful blend of global scale and efficiency with local entrepreneurial agility. Very few can match that.
And the last one. You mentioned M&A before.
Right. Their proven M&A platform. This isn't just something they do. It's a core competency. They have a long, consistent, highly successful track record of buying and seamlessly integrating smaller distributors. They've built a stellar reputation in the industry as a preferred buyer.
Why preferred?
Yeah.
Over, say, private equity?
Often because they have a long-term view. They integrate the business, they keep the people, they invest in it. It's not just about financial engineering. They have a systematic integration process that lets them consistently add value. It's fundamental to their growth story, their DNA.
Those moats paint a really clear picture of why IMCD is so hard to compete with. But let's zoom out again. To really appreciate their position, we need to understand the market they operate in. How big is this specialty chemicals distribution market, and what's driving its growth? It sounds quite specific, maybe even niche.
It might sound niche, but it's anything but small. It's a substantial and growing market. Globally, specialty chemical distribution was valued somewhere in the range of $307 billion to $319 billion in 2024.
$300 billion, wow.
Yeah, it's significant, and it's expanding pretty robustly. The industry has strong secular tailwinds behind it. Long-term forecasts predict a compound annual growth rate, a CAGR, of between 5.1% and 7.3% through 2034.
That's very healthy growth for the next decade.
Very healthy, very consistent.
So what's the engine behind this expansion? Is it just, you know, more chemicals being made overall, or is there something more fundamental driving it?
It's much more fundamental than just volume. There are two primary powerful drivers. First, there's this widespread accelerating trend among the big chemical manufacturers to outsource non-core functions.
Things they don't see as their main job.
Exactly. Sales, marketing, complex logistics, especially for smaller volume specialty products and for reaching that long tail of customers.
Yeah.
You know, the thousands of smaller buyers that are just too numerous and expensive for the giant producers to serve directly. Distributors like IMCD are simply way more efficient and cost effective for that.
Okay. Outsourcing by the manufacturers. What's the second driver?
The second equally powerful factor is the relentless rising demand for specialty chemicals themselves. Across this incredibly wide range of industries, pharma, high-tech electronics, advanced construction materials, specialized agriculture, you name it. These sectors inherently need specialized handling, precise technical support, sophisticated formulation help.
All the things IMCD provides.
Precisely. All things distributors like IMCD are uniquely set up to provide, much more so than the manufacturers or the end users themselves typically are.
And you mentioned earlier, this industry is still quite fragmented. Does that mean it's always ripe for consolidation, and that's where IMCD's M&A engine comes into play?
It absolutely is ripe, and yes, that's exactly where IMCD leverages its M&A expertise. A key feature of this market is its high degree of fragmentation. You have a few big global players, sure, but then thousands of smaller, often family-owned or regional distributors.
So even the biggest players don't dominate?
No. Even the largest ones only hold a minority share of the total market. This structure creates this perpetually fertile ground for consolidation. And like we said, IMCD isn't just participating. They are arguably one of the most active, disciplined, and successful consolidators out there. Their M&A strategy, buying companies to expand geography, strengthen market positions, add supplier relationships, is very much a systematic buy-and-build approach. It's absolutely key to their future growth.
Okay, so with that context, how does IMCD actually stack up against its biggest competitors? We hear names like Brenntag, Univar Solutions. Are they playing the same game?
That's a great question for comparison. The annual ICS Top 100 Chemical Distributors list is a good objective benchmark. Based on 2024 sales, the top five globally were Brenntag way out front at $16.8 billion, then Tricon Energy at $13.1 billion, Univar Solutions at $11.5 billion, Nagase & Co. from Japan at $5.7 billion, and then IMCD at $5.0 billion.
Which lines up with the euro figure you gave earlier.
Yeah, roughly $4.73 billion for IMCD in 2024.
What's fascinating there, though, is while IMCD is smaller in sheer revenue than giants like Brenntag, It sounds like there's a critical qualitative difference that really sets them apart. What is that?
You've hit the nail on the head. The key qualitative difference is IMCD's unwavering pure-play focus on higher margin specialty chemicals and ingredients.
Fair play specialty.
Exactly. Contrast that with many larger peers, especially a company like Brenntag. They often have significant exposure to lower margin, higher volume commodity chemicals.
What's the real difference in selling those?
Think of it this way. Selling a commodity chemical, it's often mainly about price and reliable logistics. Selling a specialty chemical, that's about technical application knowledge, formulation support, deep customer integration. It's a different ballgame.
So IMCD's focus gives them.
It gives them a fundamentally more resilient business model. It typically leads to higher, more stable gross profit margins, and their growth is less vulnerable to the wild price swings and cyclicality you see in commodity markets. It gives them a distinct qualitative edge, even if they aren't the biggest by top-line revenue.
That makes perfect sense. It speaks to the quality of their earnings, really. So with all these advantages, this focused approach, what are the enduring barriers to entry that protect players like IMCD? Why can't a well-funded newcomer just jump in and replicate this?
The barriers are significant, multi-layered. They act as strong defensive moats. First, there's regulatory and compliance expertise. The chemical industry is, well, one of the most heavily regulated sectors globally.
Lots of rules.
Tons. A complex, ever-changing web of international, national, local rules. Handling, storage, transport, documentation. Think about REACH in Europe, the big EU regulation on chemicals. Just navigating that requires huge ongoing investment in expertise, systems, training. It's a formidable hurdle for newbies.
Okay, regulation is one barrier. What else?
Second, and just as tough for newcomers, are the supplier relationships and authorizations. Getting distribution rights from the top specialty chemical makers. Incredibly difficult. These principals are extremely picky.
You're like so selective.
They're trusting distributors with their valuable products, their brand reputation, sometimes even their intellectual property. They demand proven technical skills, wide market access, solid financial stability, a spotless safety record. These exclusive long-term relationships take years, decades sometimes, of consistent performance and trust building. You can't just buy your way in overnight.
So it's not just about having money. It's about earning that deep-seated trust over time.
Precisely. Third is the technical capabilities and customer integration we talked about. Those value-added services, especially the formulation support in the labs, create really high switching costs for customers.
Meaning it's a pain for them to change suppliers.
A huge pain. Once a customer co-develops a product, say, a unique coating or food ingredient using IMCD's ingredients and expertise, it's operationally complex, time-consuming, and costly to reformulate and switch. That deep integration into their R&D and production, that's a powerful economic moat.
And the last barrier.
Finally, scale and network effects. The sheer size and global reach of IMCD's network offer big advantages. For principals, it's an efficient single point of contact for distributing across many markets. For customers, it's access to a broad portfolio from many leading suppliers. This creates a powerful network effect.
How does that work?
Well, each new supplier makes the platform more attractive to customers, and each new customer group makes the platform more attractive to other suppliers. It's a virtuous cycle, a self-reinforcing competitive advantage that gets stronger with scale.
That brings us nicely to the numbers. Let's look at IMCD's financial performance. Given all these factors, how has their revenue growth looked over the past few years?
Well, IMCD has a truly impressive track record on the top line. Consistent growth, even through various market ups and downs. Between 2018 and 2024, their revenue grew from $2.38 billion to a solid $4.73 billion.
Wow, that's nearly double.
Pretty much. It works out to a compound annual growth rate, a CGR of 12.1% over those 6 years, which is quite remarkable for a company already at that scale.
And what drove that growth? Was it all organic or?
That's what's really revealing, especially recently. It speaks directly to their strategy. Take 2024, for example. Their reported group revenue growth was 6%. But if you break that down, there was actually a modest 1% organic decline. We'll get into why in a bit. But that was more than offset by a substantial 8% positive contribution from their strategic acquisitions, plus a small 1% negative hit from foreign currency.
So acquisitions drove almost all the growth that year.
Exactly. It clearly underscores how crucial M&A is for their sustained top-line growth, especially when facing broader industry headwinds like that destocking period we mentioned.
That's a powerful testament to their acquisition strategy. But what about profitability? We often see companies chase growth, sometimes sacrificing margins. How has IMCD done there?
That's the critical question, isn't it? Profitability is key. Let's look at their gross profit margin. It's shown truly remarkable stability, even trending slightly upwards over time. Went from 22.5% in 2018 to 25.4% in 2024.
Even during periods of high inflation.
Yeah, even with significant raw material inflation and supply chain chaos, that stability indicates strong pricing power. They can pass through input costs effectively. That's a sign of a strong value proposition, a good position in the value chain.
Okay, so gross profit looks solid. They're maintaining pricing power there. But what about further down the income statement? Operating margins. Has that been as consistent?
This is exactly where we see some pressure points emerge. Their operating EBITDA margin, that's earnings before interest, taxes, and amortization, adjusted, it actually expanded significantly right after the pandemic, peaking at a very healthy 12.0% in 2022.
Pretty strong.
Very strong. However, since that peak, it has seen a noticeable contraction, fell to 11.6% in 2023, and then down again to 11.2% in 2024. And unfortunately, that trend continued into the first half of 2025, ticking down slightly more to 11.1%.
So what does that mean for their core operational efficiency? You often mention a metric called the conversion margin here. How does that look?
Right, the conversion margin. It's a really insightful metric. It tells us how much of their gross profit they actually managed to convert into operating EBITDA. Mm-hmm. It's a key gauge of how well they control their internal operating costs relative to their gross profit performance. And this is where we've seen significant pressure.
Okay.
After hitting that high of 48.3% in 2022, it declined, dropped to 45.8% in 2023, then 44.2% in 2024, and slipped further to 43.4% in the first half of 2025.
Why the decline?
Well, this persistent squeeze clearly shows that the company's internal operating costs, things like salaries for their skilled people, logistics, energy, big IT investments, they've been growing faster than their gross profit dollars. Management directly calls this inflation-driven growth in own costs.
So negative operating leverage.
Exactly. Negative operating leverage. It's been a key concern for the market. Management has responded. They talk about efficiency enhancement measures. Notably, that included cutting about 2% of their non-acquired full-time employees in 2024.
And what about returns on capital, given the M&A spend?
Good point. For the trailing 12 months as of early 2025, their return on equity, ROE, was 14.1%, and return on invested capital, ROIC, was 7.3%. Sustaining and, crucially, improving these returns, especially ROIC, is absolutely critical given how capital-intensive that M&A strategy is.
So despite those margin pressures, how has their cash flow generation held up, and what about working capital?
IMCD has a strong history of generating solid cash flows, which you expect from a quality business, but their free cash flow has been a bit more volatile recently. It hit a record $554 million in 2023, helped by really tight working capital management that year. But it moderated to about $450 million in 2024, and then saw a pretty significant 22% year-over-year drop to $173 million in the first half of 2025.
What caused that drop?
The main reason was a higher investment in working capital. Their net working capital days, basically how long cash is tied up in inventory and receivables, increased from 61 days at the end of 2023 to 69 days by the end of 2024.
Why the increase?
Management pointed to a few things. Higher business activity overall, a strong order book going into 2025, and also integrating acquired companies that tend to operate with higher working capital levels than IMCD's average. As a result, their cash conversion margin, how much EBITDA turns into free cash flow, fell from that exceptional 105% in 2023 to a more normal but still pretty healthy 83% in 2024.
It sounds like while there's been some pressure, they're still fundamentally sound, especially looking at their capital structure. They seem to have a very clear plan for how they use their cash.
They absolutely do. IMCD is meticulous about maintaining a prudent, flexible capital structure that's essential to support their growth ambitions. Their leveraged net debt to operating EBITDA was a very manageable 2.2x at the end of 2024. It ticked up slightly to 2.6x by mid-2025 after more M&A spending.
But still well within limits.
Oh, yeah. Comfortably below their debt covenant limit of 4.25x. That gives them significant financial headroom. And remember, those capital market moves in late 2024, raising $800 million combined in debt and equity, that further solidified their flexibility. It was explicitly done to build that war chest for future M&A.
So M&A is the clear priority for capital?
Unquestionably. Their capital allocation policy is crystal clear. M&A comes first. They see it as the highest return opportunity for deploying capital and the absolute core of their long-term growth story.
What about returns to shareholders directly? Dividends?
They have a stable, growing annual dividend policy. The aim is to pay out between 25% and 35% of their adjusted net income. And that dividend has grown consistently every single year since their IPO back in 2014.
Well, was it recently?
For 2024, they proposed 2.155 per share. That was a 35% payout ratio. It was actually a slight decrease in the euro amount per share, reflecting the earnings pressure we talked about. And importantly, no regular share buybacks.
Yeah.
Capital is overwhelmingly focused on M&A and dividends.
So looking ahead, how does IMCD plan to keep this growth engine humming? What are their strategic initiatives beyond just buying companies?
Their growth strategy really rests on this sophisticated dual engine, right? combining steady, disciplined, organic growth with those strategic value-adding acquisitions. And guiding this whole approach are what they call their six key pillars.
Six pillars.
Yeah. Their people, their product portfolio, commercial excellence, operational excellence, digital excellence, and increasingly important, sustainability. Each is designed to reinforce the others.
Let's dig into those a bit, starting with organic growth. How did they expand the business without just buying it? What does that actually look like?
Organic growth, even though M&A gets the headlines, is fundamental. First, a key way is expanding relationships with their existing principals, the big suppliers. Taking a product they distribute in Europe and getting the rights for Asia, or the Americas, for example.
Expanding mandates.
Exactly. Second, they actively seek new supplier mandates to broaden their offerings. Like that 2025 deal with Lubrizol for medical solutions in North America, that's a big expansion into a high-value area. Third, cross-selling. Leveraging their huge customer base and wide product range. A customer buying for cosmetics might also need something for cleaning products. IMCD can supply both.
Makes sense.
And central to all this, as we keep saying, is that continuous investment in technical capabilities. Expanding the lab network, like that new Shanghai hub. It lets them lead with innovation, develop custom formulations, drive deeper customer integration, and capture higher margin business. That's how they earn their keep as a value-added partner, not just a logistics provider.
And then, of course, the inorganic growth through M&A, it really does seem like their superpower. Can you give us a sense of the scale and discipline involved there?
It really is a core competency, almost an art form for them. They maintain this incredibly disciplined yet consistently active approach. They don't just buy anything. They strategically target companies that fit specific needs, enhancing geographic footprint, adding critical new technologies or capabilities, or providing entry into adjacent markets they want to be in.
And they kept buying even through recent volatility.
Remarkably so. In 2024 alone, they completed and integrated 12 acquisitions. 12. Across all regions. It shows how well-oiled their integration machine is, and that pace continued right into 2025.
Any example?
Yeah. In the first half of 2025, several strategic deals. Apis Quimica in Chile, boosting their advanced materials presence in Latin America. Trichem in India, accelerating growth in the fast-growing Indian pharma market. Fur Alimentation in Spain, bolstering their food and beverage business in Southern Europe. Their ability to consistently find, buy, and integrate these without major issues is a huge differentiator.
It sounds like they're also investing heavily in digital transformation. How does that fit into the strategy and customer experience?
Digital excellence is now a fundamental pillar, absolutely. It underpins both efficiency and customer engagement. They're making big investments in a unified global IT infrastructure, think robust ERP systems for internal operations, sophisticated CRM systems for managing customer interactions.
What about customer-facing tech?
A key piece there is their MyIMCD online portal. It's designed to really enhance the customer experience. Seamless online ordering, instant access to product documents, direct lines for technical support.
So more than just efficiency.
Much more. These digital tools provide invaluable real-time data and analytics back to their commercial teams. It helps them understand customer needs better, anticipate market trends, offer more personalized service, and spot new growth opportunities more effectively. It's about enabling data-driven growth.
And the final pillar, sustainability. Is that just, you know, corporate responsibility, box ticking, or is it becoming a real value driver, a commercial imperative for them?
It's absolutely both, and increasingly a commercial imperative. Sustainability is deeply integrated into their strategy and value proposition now. They're positioning themselves as a leader in the distribution space on this.
How are they doing that?
Well, key initiatives include their Sustainable Solutions Program. This isn't just marketing fluff. It focuses on developing and promoting formulations that help their customers tackle environmental challenges. Things like reducing carbon footprints, improving resource efficiency, enabling circular economy principles in the final products.
Has this gained any recognition?
Yes, significant recognition. In July 2025, they got an EcoVadis Platinum Medal. That's prestigious. Puts them in the top 1% of companies assessed globally for sustainability performance. Plus, they've committed to setting near-term science-based decarbonization targets through the SBTi framework.
So why should our listeners care about IMCD's sustainability efforts?
Because it's not just about doing good anymore. It's a direct commercial imperative. Both their big suppliers and their end customers are increasingly scrutinizing the sustainability credentials of everyone in their supply chain. IMCD's proactive stance here becomes a clear competitive advantage. It builds stronger partnerships and opens doors with environmentally conscious clients.
Now, despite all this inherent strength and strategic growth, no company operates in a bubble, right? The past few years, say 2022 through mid-2025, they were marked by significant macro volatility. What specific challenges and headwinds did IMCD face, or how did they handle them?
You're right. It was a challenging period for many industries. And while IMCD showed impressive resilience, they definitely weren't immune to those broader economic and industry-specific forces.
Okay, let's unpack this great destocking thing first. We heard that term everywhere in 2023. What exactly was it, and how did it hit IMCD?
The great destocking was probably the biggest single industry challenge during that time. To really get it, you need to rewind slightly. Remember the supply chain chaos post-COVID in 2021, early 2022?
Oh, yeah. Shortages everywhere.
Exactly. That led many end users across industries into panic buying. They were desperate to get raw materials, building up huge safety stocks because they feared more shortages. This created this artificial but very real surge in demand.
Okay.
Then, starting around mid-2022, as supply chains started to normalize and economic forecasts softened, companies aggressively hit the brakes. They started a long, deep period of inventory reduction, basically selling off their excess stock instead of placing new orders.
That's the destocking.
That's the destocking. And it meant sharply lower order volumes for distributors like IMCD. You saw it clearly in their numbers. They reported a significant 8% organic revenue decline in Q1 2024. That was comparing directly against the peak panic buying period of the year before.
But have things improved since then?
Yes. The good news and a sign of their resilience is that by Q3 2024, they reported a return to positive organic revenue growth 5%. That suggested the intense destocking cycle was largely over and demand patterns were starting to normalize, a potential turning point.
So a tough patch on demand, but maybe transient, and they seem to be coming through it. What about the margin pressure from inflation? How did that hit them, especially since you said their gross margins held up?
That's the crucial distinction. While IMCD managed product cost inflation well, keeping gross profit margins stable thanks to their pricing power, they still face significant, persistent pressure on their operating margins.
From their own costs rising.
Exactly. As we discussed with the conversion margin, high global inflation drove up the company's own operating costs. Not the cost of chemicals, but their internal expenses, salaries for their technical teams, global logistics costs, energy bills, IT investments, these costs grew faster than their gross profit dollars.
Leading to that margin squeeze.
Right. It led directly to that contraction in operating EBITDA margin and, critically, the conversion margin. This was a major factor in their profitability being lower than expected in 2024 and H1 2025. And it forced management to implement those efficiency measures, like the headcount reduction.
And beyond those specifics, what about the broader macro and geopolitical environment? How much did that weigh on a global player like IMCD?
The broader backdrop definitely remained a source of uncertainty, adding another layer of difficulty. You had persistently high interest rates in major economies trying to tame inflation, which naturally slowed down industrial production, especially in places like Europe. That dampens demand for industrial chemicals.
Plus global tensions.
Right.
Ongoing geopolitical conflicts like the war in Ukraine, broader trade tensions, it all created this environment of heightened caution. Businesses became more conservative, delaying purchasing decisions. It made forecasting incredibly difficult for companies like IMCD.
Did management acknowledge that?
They did. Their public statements took on a notably more cautious tone. They explicitly said things like, macroeconomic and political uncertainty make predictions difficult. That's a significant admission for a company usually focused on growth.
Finally, as a truly global company, they must face currency risk, right? Foreign exchange. How did that impact their reported numbers?
It's just an inherent part of being multinational. With significant operations and revenue outside the Eurozone, their results are naturally exposed to currency swings. These are mostly translation effects, though.
Meaning
when results from their U.S. or Asian subsidiaries get converted back into euros for reporting, the exchange rate movement can either inflate or deflate the reported figures. In 2024, for example, currency moves had a net negative 1% impact on total group revenue. Was it worse in some areas?
It was more pronounced in some segments, like the Americas, where FX translation shaved a noticeable 2 percentage points off the reported operating EBITDA growth. It's important to remember these are generally non-cash accounting impacts. They don't change the underlying performance in local currency, but they absolutely create volatility in reported growth rates and financial statements, and that can influence how investors and analysts see things.
Let's transition now to valuation. This is always key for investors. IMCD, as you said, historically traded at a premium. What's the story there recently?
This is where things get really pivotal for anyone looking at IMCD right now. As of early 2025, the stock's trading at a trailing 12-month price-to-earnings ratio, PE, of around 21x.
21 times earnings. How does that compare historically?
It's a very significant derating. For years before this, the stock often traded in a premium PE range of 30x to 40x. It even peaked above 50x back in 2021.
Wow. So what caused such a big drop in the multiple?
It was directly driven by that earnings pressure we discussed and the sharp slowdown in organic growth during the 2023-2024 destocking cycle. The market reacted. The stock price reflects that acutely trading near its 52-week low of about 94, way down from a high of 159 euro. For investors, it's definitely a moment requiring close examination.
So even with that big D rating, how does it stack up against its closest peers now? Is it still seen as a premium player, or has that distinction gone?
Historically, IMCD consistently commanded a substantial valuation premium over its biggest competitor, Brenntag. And that premium was always justified by, well, several compelling factors. IMCD's pure play focus on higher growth, higher margin specialties, and more resilient business, its aggressive, successful M&A model driving growth, and its superior track record of margin expansion over the long haul.
And Brenntag's multiple today?
Brenntag currently trades around 16x PE, reflecting its greater exposure to the more cyclical, lower margin commodity side. Now, IMCD's premium has narrowed during this recent downturn, no doubt about it. But crucially, it still trades at a higher multiple than Brenntag.
So the market still sees a difference?
It suggests the market continues to recognize and reward IMCD's superior business model and arguably better long-term prospects. Its valuation now is perhaps more aligned with the Zellies, another specialty-focused peer that also commands a premium. So yes, the market punished the recent slowdown, but it hasn't seemed to lose fundamental faith in the quality of the business.
Okay, so what are the key valuation drivers going forward? If listeners are trying to figure out IMCD's future performance and potential re-rating, what specific things should they watch most closely?
The stock's future valuation trajectory will hinge on several key interconnected factors. First, and maybe most critical, is organic growth. Seeing a clear, sustained return to positive mid-single-digit organic gross profit growth would be the single most powerful catalyst for a meaningful re-rating.
Why gross profit specifically?
Because it would signal underlying demand is normalizing, destocking is truly over, and maybe they're even gaining market share organically. It shows the core business is healthy before operating costs.
Okay, organic growth first, what's second?
Second, the conversion margin trajectory. The market is intensely focused here. Can they stop, and more importantly, reverse that recent decline? Evidence of margin stabilization through cost control, better cost structure, a return to positive operating leverage that would massively boost confidence in the earnings outlook. It shows they're managing those internal inflationary pressures.
Makes sense.
Third, M&A execution and return on invested capital, ROIC. Continued successful, disciplined M&A is vital. The market will watch not just the pace of deals, but critically, the financial impact of recent integrations. Are they delivering the expected returns on the capital invested? This proves they're growing for value, not just for size.
And finally?
Finally, free cash flow conversion. Seeing a sustained improvement in free cash flow generation driven by better working capital management, stronger profitability, efficient capital use that underscores the quality and resilience of their earnings. Healthy cash flow often commands a higher multiple, signaling strong underlying business health.
If we connect all that to the bigger picture,
yeah.
Given the current multiple, around 21x PE and these key drivers, what might be a reasonable valuation range to think about for IMCD going forward, assuming they navigate these challenges well?
Well, we don't give specific price targets, obviously, but we can talk ranges based on history, current conditions, and prospects. That current PE near 21x seems to have largely priced in the recent cyclical pain, the destocking, the margin squeeze.
So upside potential if things improve.
Potentially, a return to a valuation in the mid to high 20s PE range could be seen as reasonable if, and it's a significant if, the company clearly shows that inflection back to sustained positive organic EBITDA growth and provides real evidence that the conversion margin has stabilized and ideally started recovering.
And getting back to their historical premium, the 30s range.
Achieving that kind of premium valuation again, getting consistently into the 30s PE range, that would likely require a return to the really robust performance we saw in, say, 2020, 2022. That means a powerful mix. Strong, accelerating organic growth, continued successful M&A integration delivering clear synergies, and expanding operating margins driven by strong operating leverage. They'd have to earn that premium back through demonstrated, consistent execution across the board.
Finally, every investment has risks. A deep dive isn't complete without looking at potential pitfalls. What are the key risk factors listeners should keep in mind when considering a company like IMCD?
Absolutely critical to consider the risks. Several stand out. First, despite all their diversification, they still have cyclical exposure to end markets. While the specialty focus helps cushion things, they are still tied to the health of key industrial sectors, construction, automotive, general manufacturing. A prolonged global downturn or a deep recession would hit demand for specialty chemicals, impacting their sales and profits.
Okay, cyclicality is one. What else?
Second is the ever-present M&A integration and execution risk. Their growth hinges so heavily on that buy and build strategy. That carries inherent risks, potentially overpaying for companies if deals get too competitive, difficulties integrating different cultures, IT systems, and crucially, failing to actually realize the cost and revenue synergies that justified the deal in the first place. And as they grow and maybe target bigger acquisitions, this risk could increase.
What are their core relationships?
That's the third risk, supplier and customer dependency. Their whole model rests on strong, often exclusive relationships with both suppliers, principals, and customers. Losing a major supplier, especially an exclusive one in a key area, could materially hurt their results in market share. Similarly, while their customer base is fragmented, losing a cluster of large customers or facing consolidation among their buyers could still have an impact.
And financial risks.
Fourth is foreign exchange and financial risk. Being global means FX volatility always affects reported results. Plus, while their leverage is manageable now, their M&A is partly debt-funded. A significant jump in debt, maybe for a very large acquisition, especially in a rising interest rate world, could increase financial risk, boost interest costs, and potentially limit future flexibility.
Lastly.
Finally, regulatory and environmental compliance risk. The chemical industry faces incredibly strict, constantly changing regulations worldwide, health, safety, environmental. New rules, like potential broad restrictions on PFAS chemicals, forever chemicals, or much stricter carbon emission standards, could significantly raise compliance costs, limit the products they can even distribute, or force big investments in new processes or infrastructure, all of which could hit profitability.
Well, there you have it. We've really dug deep into IMCD NV, a company that, yeah, maybe isn't a household name, but has meticulously, strategically built itself into a global leader, mastering this incredibly complex value-added distribution and formulation of specialty chemicals.
Driven by that smart, operationally asset-light model, but fueled by that aggressive yet disciplined M&A engine.
Exactly. And as we've seen, they've shown real resilience, navigating some pretty significant headwinds recently, that great destocking, inflation pressures, with a remarkable fortitude, really.
Yeah, they've been tested.
We've peeled back the layers on their unique value proposition rooted in that technical expertise, that deep customer integration. We've looked at the power of their dual growth engine, organic expansion plus strategic acquisitions. And we've examined the recent challenges that definitely tested their efficiency and profitability, pushing that valuation down.
Absolutely right. It's a company that really shows how specialized value-added services combined with relentless execution and a clear strategy can build durable advantages and consistent growth, even in what looks like a mature distribution business. It's so much more than just logistics.
So this deep dive leaves us with an important question for you, our listener, to think about. Given IMCD's proven long-term growth story, their impressive knack for finding and integrating businesses, their strategic commitment to innovation and sustainability, how do you weigh that compelling long-term narrative against the more recent pressures on profitability and cash flow?
It's the classic investment dilemma, isn't it? Balancing the long-term potential with the near-term challenges.
Exactly. What does IMCD's journey, the story of this sort of invisible giant, truly reveal about the complex yet absolutely vital supply chains that underpin so much of our modern world? From the medicines we take to the phones in our pockets, something for you to mull over until our next deep dive.